Our God is great. And He is great all of the time. When it's sunny, when it's raining, our God is great. Amen? Do you believe that? Or is it just words that we say? Do we believe it? God has done mighty things to this brother and sister that we just seen here. And I just, you know, you just marvel at what God can do. And I'm just so thankful that He's blessed them in a mighty way like that we can learn from. Amen. I'm so glad again to have the opportunity to speak to you today. It's been just over a month since the last time I stood here speaking to you for about half an hour or so, which I thank God for. And today again I stand before you because God has put a word on my heart which I'm going to share with you. Amen. Before I get started, I'll just say a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your people seated here today. Lord Jesus, I pray that, Lord, you just release their hearts to hear from you, our Father. Lord, where hearts have been hardened, Lord, I pray you'll soften them today. And I pray that, Lord Jesus, where the enemy has planted thorns ahead, Lord Jesus, I pray you'll cut them away in Jesus' name. And I pray that, Lord, as I humble myself before you, Lord, that no word of mine will come out, O Lord Jesus, but just the word that you say, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, every one of us will walk out with a blessing from you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So we started, I'm just going to do a quick recap of a minute or so about where we've come from as a church this year. We started the year talking about the spiritual warfare that we face, right? And some people doubted whether there's spiritual warfare or not, and we learned that indeed there is. We had our small group sessions, and all of us revealed that there's spiritual warfare happening around us that we need to be conscious about, but God is with us. Amen. And then we went on, we got through the book of Acts, which is, you know, gives us a picture of where we've come from as a church, Christians, where we get our heritage, if you like, from where we were called Gentiles, but now we are accepted by Christ, we've received Christ, and we're on this journey, and we are promised eternity because God and Jesus made a way for us. He cut the veil through. As I understand, it was something like more than 3 feet wide, the veil, and cut through in the middle, gave us access to God, and we are so thankful. So the book of Acts revealed to us so much more. And then we've done the spiritual gift series. We've just finished, and each one of us had an opportunity to find out what their spiritual gift is and to take it and run with it, to use that gift for the glory of God, and to use that gift to benefit each other. Amen. And so then now we have people in their right place in ministry, they're in the right place at the right time, and for the right purpose, the right intention, that is to glorify God. And we thank God for that. So right now, the month of August, we believe that God wants us to be encouraged. God wants us to encourage you as a people to believe in Him, to believe in His power, to believe in His strength. And so the whole month of August will be a time of encouragement. Amen. You heard Pastor Shola speak last Sunday. The word was so powerful. Moving on from a challenge to a breakthrough and seeing God perform miracles in your life in a mighty, mighty way. We had stories that were amazing. That we have that the experiences that Pastor Shola had, some of which I will refer to in my preach, you'll hear about them. And I thank God for that Sunday. Today I'm speaking to you. My name is Bramwell Simiu. For those who don't know, I know I can see people who've never been here before, so I thank God for your presence today. And I'll be speaking to you today. The word today is let God be God. And Pastor Shola will come again next Sunday. And then Melinda, who's my great teacher, will be speaking again in a couple of weeks. And then Alice will come along and will be encouraging and also wrapping up the series. So I really look forward to sitting down and receiving encouragement too. Amen. So we want to finish the year really strong, just the way we've come through the few months that we've been going through. We want to finish in the way that God intends us to see it through. We want to finish the year with excellence. Amen? And excellence means glorifying God in a way that we've never done before. One of the areas that I want to address today is the area of worship. Now, I believe we need to lift up to lift the name of God higher than, you know, we think of him, because God is greater, God is mighty, and he is worthy of our praises. Amen. Now, worship is more than just the words of praise that we say to God. We are saying how good he is and how powerful he is. The Hebrew and Greek word that is used it refers to more than just words of praise. It refers to making a sacrifice and carrying out instructions. So worship, in other words, looks at speaking of God's worth and listening to God and doing what he commands us to do. Amen. So praising song and words is excellent. But if we are not listening to God, and if we are disobedient to him, then the words are of no meaning. Can you think of a child? As a parent, I've only three years since my daughter was born, and I'm enjoying parenthood. But you can imagine if your child all of the time spends the time telling you how great you are, and behind your back just does all the wrong things. What kind of a child is that? It's not good, right? You want your child to follow instructions. You want your child to be obedient. But you also want to hear from him as he says how good you are. And so worship is a response to God. We cannot know God's worth or say his praises until we've experienced him as a person. So you experience God, you experience his goodness in your life, and then you have an opportunity to worship him. You have an opportunity to obey what he says. You have an opportunity to follow his teaching. Amen? God has called us to be a people of praise. The word of God says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Amen. I just read from the New King James Version, which I like a lot. So the more you grasp the greatness of God, then and his power and his love and the character of who he is, then you can understand, and then your songs and your praises, the words that you declare, come from deep inside, come from an experience that you have had with him. Amen. You've had it said by our worship leader here many times, saying, you know, when we come here and sing at the beginning of the service and during the service, it's just an overflow of what is happening in your life, your life of worship. And that is so true, because it means that whenever you are living your life out there, you're living an example of what God expects of you. Amen. I want to hear your response. I don't want you to die away or fall away asleep, because I know the enemy works in that way. It takes away your attention. You start thinking about the food. You start thinking about other things, you know, and in the end, you miss out the message. I don't want you to miss out the message today. Amen. So the reason I've titled the message, Let God Be God, is because I believe that in many ways we try to take things in our control. And these are the things that God should be doing in our life. Amen. It's not things that we should be doing. And when we do, we struggle. You can't juggle those things. You can't look after yourself. God is meant to be looking after you. Amen. And when you do, then if you give away the things that he's supposed to be taking care of, then you can spend your time worshiping him. Amen. And so today, the time I'm going to spend with you is just about pointing to the things that we should really be surrendering to God. Amen. The first item I'd like to look at is to say, let God heal you. Let God heal you. There are many of us walking around with pain that we shouldn't be carrying. Now, the pain can be in our hearts. It could be physical pain, but it's things that we shouldn't be carrying, because God is able to take care of our pain. Amen. He's perfectly able to do it without your help. Hear me out here. God is perfectly capable of healing you and taking away the pain that you have in your heart that you don't need. Amen. It could be something that you were told in your childhood, and you've replayed it in your head. You've replayed it in your head. It has become part of you. I can't do it. Why? Because that's just me. I can't do it. That can't be right. It can't be right. It may be a medical condition again that you've seen the doctors try, and in the end you see the medication is probably not working. And then you've given up. You've given up, you've turned away and thought, if the doctors can't do it, who can do it? God is saying, I am the Lord your healer. Amen. I want you to remember that the Lord is saying, I am the Lord your healer. It may be something that someone said to you, and your life has, you've spent your life just thinking about that person, what he said to you, and you look at that person going on with their life, and you think, how can they live as if nothing happened? You're hurting inside. God wants to release that pain. Amen. God did not mean that you live walking around hurting the way that you do. And he's perfectly capable of healing you today if you choose to trust him. But you have to make that choice. Amen. You cannot sit and wait for it to happen. He is perfectly able to heal you. I've chosen some scriptures which we'll spend some time reading this morning. And the first one, if you have your Bibles, is Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 to 26. That's Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 to 26. I've asked some people to read for me because they read it way better than I do. So, Monica, please.
Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. This is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you."
Amen. He is the Lord who heals you. Now, that I love that story very much because it reveals God's power to heal. And you look at that story, 3 days before that, the Israelites had seen God make them cross through the Red Sea. And then they get here and they think, this is impossible. They have forgotten God's power that enabled them to cross the Red Sea. And sometimes we are like that. We see a victory, we experience a victory, and then the next thing we see pain in our life and we think, this one maybe God cannot deal with it. From what I read, apparently 3 days is the maximum time that the human body can go without water in the wilderness. So when they got to this point, it was the right time. Amen. Now, this is just to point us to say that whenever God is reaching out to you, the moment when he is coming through, when he chooses the timing to reach out to you and heal you, the timing is always perfect, right? Sometimes we think, you know, he is probably late. He has not come in time when I needed him to heal me. His timing is always perfectly right. Amen. The people's response to God when they saw that there was no water was to complain to Moses. How do you respond when you have bitter experiences? How do you respond when things are really painful? When the heart is aching, when your friends have walked away, how do you respond? Do you ignore the problem and just hope it will go away? Do you start blaming someone else for the problem? It was my parents. It was my friend. Do you constantly try to fix the problem and it's not working? It's just falling apart. Things are just falling apart. Does God ever feature in your thoughts of what you need to do? God is able to fix what is broken in your life. God is able to fix what's broken in your life. Moses followed the instructions that God gave him. He did not make up instructions as he went along. You know, he did not try this and try the other. He reached out to God and then followed the instructions. So what I'm saying today is, when you have X and X in your heart, you're hurting, your mind is in pain, you're thinking these things, what am I going to do with these problems that I have before me? God is perfectly able to help you, but only if you reach out to him. Amen. Moses made the water drinkable, and the water that was in the wilderness, as I understand, the water had more than just the power to quench their thirst. It had healing power, and God was deliberately preparing these people for a journey in the wilderness. So the water they drank there was not just ordinary water. So when God heals you, he's not just healing you because of what you've reached out to him for. There's much more that he's healing you for. Amen. And that is why it is important that you reach out to him first, because your solution will probably deal with this, the problem as you have it now, but then tomorrow you'll be back again, the same problem. So reach out to God. Amen. And then God again connects the miracle of the water with what is going to happen in future. He says, from now on, obedience to my commands and statutes will bring healing, both physical and moral. So Marah was a significant occasion, was a significant place. It was a place of testing, but it made sure that the Israelites benefited because they learned to cry out to God. They learned to depend on God, they learned to obey God, and they learned that God is their healer. Amen. So allow God to heal you. The next item that I want to speak to you about is to say, let God provide for you. Many of us are struggling, wondering if God will provide. You've heard the story of Onyinye and Ezine, that is a perfectly good example of present-day power of God in our lives. Amen. We want so much to help him along the way. We want so much to help God along the way in providing for us, and along the way we fail. We want to tell him how he should provide for us. We want to tell him when he should provide for us, when he actually knows the right timing. I'll just borrow an example from Alice that she told us some time back. I think it was in our small group, maybe in the church service as well, where she talked about they needed their mortgage to be repaid. And all they did was say to God, we need our mortgage repaid, God. They didn't talk about which job they wanted in order to be able to repay that. They didn't say whether they wanted someone to give them a legacy or something like that. They just trusted God. They just said, this is what we need, God. Now, along in our lives, many times we try to tell God, Father, give me this job that pays me, I don't know, whatever amount you want to think of, or I want it by tomorrow, Lord. If I don't get it tomorrow, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. It's really important to just give the problem to God. Amen. And then look up to him to provide. Don't tell him how he's going to do it, because he knows. Amen. He created you. He knows your needs. He knows the things that you need on an everyday basis. He can perfectly provide for you. What he's called you to do is to worship him and bring the problems that you have before him. Amen. Wealth and prosperity is good, but for the right reasons. Abraham was a wealthy man, but he walked closely with God. Amen. We're going to look at Genesis, the book of Genesis chapter 22. I've asked Daniel if he could read for us verse 1 to 18. This is the story of Abraham about to sacrifice his son Isaac. Genesis 22 verses 1 to 18.
Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose, and he went to the place which God had told him. Then on his third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then it came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to his as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you and will multiply you. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.
Amen. Amen. That is a story of a man who trusted God. And I thank God for such stories because they reveal just who God is and how faithful he is and the word that we can trust in. And when we follow through, he reveals himself. Amen. We know from reading that actually it was a test. But for Abraham, he didn't know, I suppose he didn't know for sure what was going to happen in terms of he's going to see a lamb in the thicket. He didn't know he would see a lamb in the thicket, but he knew that God had made it possible for him to have this son, and he trusted in the provider rather than his provision. Sometimes we trust so much in the things that God has given us. We trust in the job that God has given us. What if it's taken away from us? What's going to happen? Have you asked yourself that question sometimes? You know, what if the income that you have is taken away from you? What's going to happen? Now, it is a time when you need to think and focus on the provider rather than what he has given you. At the time that this story happens, there were pagan gods. The people were sacrificing their children too. And Abram must have wondered, what is going on here? You know, this is happening around me. Has Yahweh become like them? You know, but I don't know what was going on in his mind. But I believe, seeing what has happened here, he was following through what God has called him to do. God had built him piece by piece and made him a great man. He had made him be able to follow him and made him a man of faith. And so we look back to the story of Abraham and we are glad because of what God made him. Amen. Just notice how prompt he was in following God's command. We know so many people who would have hesitated. We know of Gideon. We know of Moses. You know, we know the people who, for a moment, they questioned what God was leading them into. But then, what about your story? What would you say to God today? If that which you have, he asks you to give it to him, what would he say? He asks this many times. Right? He asks for an offering when we give on a Sunday. What would you say when God asks for that offering? What do you say? The man in the streets sitting in the corner without food and we turn a blind eye, do you do that? Or do you speak to them and find out what brought them in the streets in the first place? Find out if maybe they would love a sandwich or something? Do you pause for a moment? God is constantly asking you, a friend in need, a friend whom you haven't contacted for years, maybe months, do you know what is going on in their lives? Do you start talking to other people about, you know, what is going on with that person rather than asking God, what do you want me to do about this situation? What about our building project? When you hear about the work that God wants to do in this community, what do? Do you fold your arms and just wait and see what will happen? Or do you take it in your hands and say, this is a problem that I need to deal with myself? Abraham knew, as I say, knew the difference between the promise and the person who is promising. He trusted in God even when he did not understand. He did not debate. He just trusted. Amen. When you make God your top priority, everything he says just goes, right? He becomes, whatever he says, you follow through. When you have a choice between time to spend with God or time to spend doing something else, you will 100% of the times choose to spend time with God. Amen. And you know what? He has never failed me. Every time that I've spent focusing on him or listening to him, he has multiplied the time that I lost, that I was meant to be doing something else. He's multiplied it 10 times, many more times. Day after day, I see this happening, and I can testify to you that if you think you're losing your time spending time with God, you are wrong, because he will multiply whatever time you have. Amen. I have seen it. Many of you have seen it, and I know he can do it again and again. Just trust him to provide. And every time he gives you an assignment, such as the work that we've got to do in this church, he provides the resources for it. All you need to do is ask him, where am I going to get the money for this, Father? Where am I going to get the money to do this? Rather than start trying to work out in your own mind the things that you can or cannot do, trust him because he's going to do it. Amen. You shouldn't care where it's going to come from. Just wait on him. And in the meantime, you know what you should be doing? Go out and bless someone. Go out and bless someone. Because I've seen in so many times when I've needed something in a specific area and I've gone and blessed someone, he has multiplied whatever he was going to give me. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I was speaking to a friend who runs a business, and it's my desire to be running my own business because I don't see why I should be working for someone else, making them a lot of money, and I don't see much of that apart from my salary. I want to prosper. I don't know about you, but I want to prosper. Amen. So I was speaking to this friend of mine, and I know he's been running a business for a while, and I asked him, how is your business doing? And he's, you know, he wasn't quite straightforward. He was a bit cagey, but he was basically saying things are tough, right? And I said to him, I'm going to pray for you. And I had never talked to him about his business before, but I felt God saying to me, pray for this man. There is something that he needs. And 2 days later, he was on WhatsApp saying, did you pray for me? Because two jobs that I have been locked up for months have come through, and the tenders have come through. And I thank God for that, because I look back and I think that victory he's experiencing is victory waiting for me. Amen? And if you trust this God, he's able to do greater things than those stories that you hear other people's experiences. Amen? He calls you to bless others. Pastor Shola talked about his experience when he was in the U.S., and he said, this lady was standing at the cash machine. She's struggling to get money from the cash machine, and he gave her $50, right? And the other, his friends might have thought he's lost his mind, but he felt the Holy Spirit telling him, bless this lady, and that is exactly what he did. So when God calls you to bless someone, go and bless them. Be deliberate about it. Amen? And then finally, let God fight for you. What is it in your life that is constantly bothering you? Who is fighting you? What are the forces in your life? What are the things that are working against you? Did you know that our God is able to fight for you? Did you know that? Do you know that? Do you believe it? Or is it just something we hear in church and then that's the end of it? Do you believe it? Okay, let's read some more. Let's read Exodus 17, and it's verses 8 to 15. That's Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 15. And Liz will read for us this one.
But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other side, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner.
Amen. 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 You know, the Amalekites, these are the descendants of Esau, the brother of Jacob, and you know Jacob, they're both sons of Isaac, and Isaac, who was the son of Abraham, but they were a constant pain in the back. In the side of the Amalekites. Of the Israelites. They were a constant pain, constantly fighting the Israelites. What they would do is they would come from behind, and then they would target the baggage of the Israelites. But what they would do is, if they find women and children moving along, and the sick and the aged, they would attack them. And they would kill them. So you look at the Israelites, they've reached this point. They've lived a life of years in Egypt. They knew nothing about war. And so they are facing war here because along the way, God has led them in such a way that they avoided all the areas that would be, they would face enemies, all the areas that they would find opposition. He's walked them around them. But now they had a war in their hands. Just like us, you know, as Christians, you know, when you start as a Christian, you start real young, you know, you feel God is watching over you, protecting you, but then there comes a time when the enemy starts attacking you. And he works in such ways as what the Amalekites were doing. He comes from behind. The enemy has power, but the only authority he has over you is the one that you've allowed him to have. And so this is how the Amalekites worked. They worked from behind, from where you cannot see them coming through to you. And then we meet, of course, we see Moses goes up the top of the hill. And then we hear about this rod that he's using. Moses would call it the rod of God, and God would call it Moses' rod. And they honored each other like that. But it was a powerful sign that was used during the time of the Israelites. Then we meet Joshua. We meet Joshua. I love this man because he is a warrior. He is a warrior. My version of the Bible says in verse 13, it says, Joshua mowed them down and disabled the Amalekites and the people. God fought and conquered the enemies of the Israelites on their behalf. Amen. You see, the name Joshua is actually, Jesus is the translation of Yoshua, Yeshua as they call it. Now, the word Joshua actually refers to the Savior. So, Jesus came to save us. Just in the same way in this story, we see Joshua fighting for the Israelites. And what is amazing is that Joshua didn't need help fighting, right? We don't read that people needed to fight along with Joshua. Of course, he had the army. But above all things, we see that Moses is the one whose hands needed to be held up. The reason why his hands needed to be held up is because this was a sign of surrender to God. And the enemy knows when you choose to surrender to God, that is the areas that he hits first. So when the enemy wants to fight you, the first thing that he targets is your spiritual life. He targets your time with God. He targets your prayer time. He targets your coming to church and hearing from God. He wants to take that away from you because he knows once he's weakened you in that area, then he can get you the way he wants. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up the hilltop where they could see everything that was happening. And the reason that was happening is because from there you can see all that is happening. And that is your hilltop being the place of prayer, the place where you meet God, the place where you spend time with Jesus. That is your hilltop. You need to find time to go up the hilltop and look to God. Amen. Because if you don't do that, there will be a lot of things happening around you that you are not aware of. And God will not be there to help you because you've not reached out to him. So what is your hilltop spot? When do you find time to spend with God? Life or death for the Israelites at this time depended on the prayer of Moses. Sometimes your prayer alone may not be sufficient. It may require that you reach out to other people to help you. It is important that you reach out for help and ask other people to walk alongside you, to pray with you. There's many of us here who intercede for others. If you are in need of prayers, we are here to pray alongside you. Amen? Myself, Alice, there's other people here. We receive your prayers and we go praying. Sometimes we'll be woken up in the middle of the night by a prayer that God is putting on our hearts. We pray for you. And we stand with you, Christians, the people of this church, because we know that God is going to do amazing work through you once you believe in him. Amen. So don't stand as if you are alone. Don't live as if you are an island. Believe in God and believe that we are here for you. We are here to pray alongside you. Amen. When you ask God to expand your territory like I'm doing, right, and I believe many of you will be praying for God to expand your territories, the enemy is waiting as well. He won't lay the red carpet and say, go on, you know, prosper. He will not do that. He will fight you. But we've got a God who is mighty. Amen. The word of God says, for a wide door of opportunity has opened to me, but with it there are many adversaries. But you know what? God is great and he's able to fight for us. Amen. But unless you let him fight for you, you will be fighting it alone. The reality is that battle is not yours. God has called you to worship him, and you need to just lay these things in his hands. You need to lay these things in his hands. In conclusion, I'll say this. You need to let God be God. Amen. Let God heal you because he is Jehovah Rapha. Let God provide for you because he is Jehovah Jireh. Let God fight for you because he is Jehovah Nissi. What you need to focus on is worshiping him. Amen. May God bless you.